Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with the Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details. In Puerto Rico, there's adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the U.S. Get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico and that remind you why you travel in the first place. Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you. No passports required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuckers Bryant. That makes this Stuff You Should Know. If you didn't know, now you know.
Happy birthday, Josh.
Thanks, Chuck.
It's your birthday.
It is my birthday.
You're
34.
You're closer to me in age now for about a half a year.
Yeah. And I'm 6 months older than Yumi, which makes me a year older than Yumi right now.
Oh, is she your age?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I think it's so funny. It's okay when you say that because you are way, way older than me. But it's funny when people say that about people who are like a year or two different. They're like, you know, somebody... they're almost our age. It's
right.
Like our age is a year, maybe a year and a half on either side of your age.
True, sure.
Maybe 2 years.
But I often think we're the same age until you do something that reminds me.
It's because we both act like we're eight.
Right.
That's where we're on the same page.
Yes.
Case in point, where's the worst place you've ever had a tick?
Well, Josh, I know you know because we share a commonality.
And I should,
aside from the show,
I should warn you, I'm not going to fess up to anything on this one before you do. I just want to give you fair warning.
Well, since I said that we share this, then...
I don't know what you're talking about, dude.
Josh and I have both had a tick in a very unfortunate place if you're a man.
They were different ticks, though.
Yeah.
Okay?
As far as we know.
They better have been... Good God.
Well, it was years apart. Mine was last summer.
This is the worst birthday ever.
When was yours?
Oh, mine was years and years ago.
I had two ticks last summer.
Did you really?
Yeah.
In horrible places?
Well, no. One was on my thigh, and it still itches and, like, swells into a little bump every now and then. Like a year later.
You may want to get that checked out there,
no,
Chuck.
It's fine. Well, I read up online.
It doesn't sound fine.
No, I read, and they said that...
It doesn't sound fine at all.
It said tick bites can still bother you for, like, years, evidently.
Yeah.
Without
if
having...
If you have Lyme disease or something like
disease.
That. Yeah. Okay, well, we're talking about ticks.
Oh, can I say the inspiration for this real quick?
Sure, because I'm curious myself.
As you know, Josh, our unofficial house band, the Henry Clay People.
Yes.
Out of L.A.
Are they tick infested?
They came through town about a month ago.
Yeah.
Stayed at my house.
Yeah.
About a week and a half later, I get a call from Joey, the lead singer and songwriter guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hey, you got ticks in Georgia? I said, sure. There's ticks all over the place in this country. You got ticks in L.A. And he said, Jordy, our keyboard player, has Lyme disease.
Holy cow.
And he thinks he probably got it from your house.
Wow.
Because, you know, I live in a wooded section of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Actually, most of Atlanta is wooded.
Yeah, I think Georgia's one of the most wooded states in the country, from what I understand.
Yeah. So Jordy got Lyme disease, and I am very sorry, Jordan, if you got that from my house and residence.
Yeah.
It is likely, but although you were on tour, dude, you could have gotten it from anywhere.
Yeah, it's likely because he's like, you know, the eighth or ninth person this year to get Lyme disease after visiting your house. You're like, it may be. You know what that would make your house, Chuck?
A infested haven of disease?
A disease vector.
Yes.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
All right.
Here was my original intro. You ready?
Sure.
That was great, Chuck.
Thank you.
That was great. I was going to say, Chuck.
Josh.
There is a tick species called Eponoma komodoense. Komodoans. Eponema komodoans.
This one is fascinating.
It is a tick, and it looks almost completely like the scale of a Komodo dragon.
Yeah.
Its only host, the only animal that it feeds on, is the Komodo dragon.
Right.
If it's sucking the life out of a Komodo dragon, you can't tell just by looking at it that it's a tick. It looks like a scale.
Crazy.
That is the most interesting thing anyone has to say about any tick anywhere.
Okay.
That's it.
Does that explain why the Komodo dragon attacked Sharon Stone's husband?
Yeah.
It does?
That's what I read.
It was mad with...
In the Daily Mail.
Disease.
Yeah. Well, since we've already gotten the most interesting part of this podcast out of the way, Chuck's tick story, the Henry Clay People's Lyme-diseased drummer, right?
Keyboard player.
Keyboardist.
And I should mention, you can buy the album somewhere on the Golden Coast.
You're such a shill. What percentage are you getting of gross sales?
Nothing.
And then we've got the Eponema komodoans story.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to explaining ticks just because, you know, what we're doing here is explaining every aspect of the universe, right?
Yeah.
Ticks are a part of it.
One at a time.
And everyone, stuff you should know, lovers, we have to trudge through this together.
Yeah, and I kind of see this as sort of a half kind of interesting and half public service announcement.
Yeah.
Because it's summertime and ticks are everywhere.
That is a great idea.
And a lot of people, there's a lot of misinformation out there about ticks and how to remove them. So we're going to set you straight.
Yes. Thanks, Chuck. Way to frame that.
Sure.
There is a lot of misinformation out there, misunderstandings. Specifically with ticks being insects, right? They are not insects. They are arachnids.
Yeah. They have 8 legs.
Yeah. Well, they're born with 6.
Yeah,
like
that's
an insect.
Right.
But they will ultimately develop 8 unless they're disfigured.
Right. They are not spiders, though. They are in the same group, arachnids, as spiders. But spiders have segmented bodies, and ticks is just one nasty, bloody lump of a body.
That's right. And there's about 850 species of ticks.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
In the world. And I didn't either. I thought it was just like, I hate you when I hate you more.
Right.
And they're generally, you can divide ticks into 2 general types, the hard tick and the soft tick.
Yeah.
And the hard tick, I get the impression that if there is such a thing as intelligent design.
Yeah.
The hard tick was like version 1.0 and the soft tick is version 2.0.
Yeah. Hard ticks they're like the Philistines of the arachnid world.
They are an example of just the single-minded ruthlessness of genes to anthropomorphize, right?
Yeah.
Their entire purpose in life is to suck blood so they can reproduce and die.
Right? So they can make babies that suck more blood.
Yes.
Bloodsuckers are, I'm a big animal guy, as you know, as are you. And I even save insects, you know. I won't kill a bee, you know, or a spider. I will usher them out somewhere else.
I won't either.
But flies,
mosquitoes,
ticks and fleas, no use for them.
You and I are on the exact same page. Those are the only 4 insects that I'll kill. I won't kill a roach.
I'll kill a roach.
I won't kill. Why?
I'll kill the hell out of a roach.
A roach never did anything to anybody. It just happened to be unfortunately ugly. And, like, scuttle. That's what it is. Roaches scuttle. That's why we don't like them. You can't kill something for scuttling.
Yeah, you know, if a roach
kill
moved...
kill something for being a parasite.
If it moved really slowly across a room, I probably wouldn't kill it. But the fact that they run like they're looting...
Exactly.
...makes me want to kill them.
Yeah.
All right. So those are insects we hate.
I don't mind roaches. I'm not going on record with you on that one.
Well, what does Yumi do when she sees a roach?
I try to keep roaches out of Yumi's sight.
Okay.
Like, if we ever see him, I'm like, hey, look over here. And I'm like kind of brushing it out, like, get out of here, dude.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, Chuck, we were talking about the differences, the hard tick and the soft tick, right?
Yes.
Let's talk about the commonalities. The ticks are pretty basic creatures, right? They are one-celled organisms, right?
No, they're not.
I'm just trying to jazz this up a little bit.
Okay.
They are, the commonalities are a body, 8 legs.
Yeah.
I think eyes on either side, generally. Most of them have eyes. And then the capitulum, which is the mouth part, right?
Yeah, mouth parts is actually a word, a single word.
So gross.
Yeah.
Mouth parts, blood sucking, engorged. Everything about ticks is wrong.
Yeah, blood meal.
Yes. And then you've got on the hard tick something called a dorsal shield or a scutum, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty much it, unless you want to get into the details of the mouth parts, which really, just to add a little more time to this podcast, we probably should.
Nah. Well, they get in your body. That's what matters. What was interesting, though, my friend, is the legs are covered in little spiny hairs, and the legs have a tiny little pincher claw at the end, and they use this to, you know, climb up grass blades and vegetation, sticks, trees.
Yeah.
And we'll go ahead and talk about questing, should we, since we're right there?
Why not?
Ticks, this is how the hard tick feeds. It goes on a quest, and it literally will wait on a blade of grass with its little pincher claws up in the air for somebody to brush by them, and then they'll go, ha! And then they'll latch on to your pant leg or shoestring or whatever.
Or your face.
Yeah, and then it's all over.
Right.
But we'll get into questing more, but that's what they use their little pinchers for.
I don't think there's anything more to questing.
Yeah, you're right.
I got to veto you, man. We should talk about the mouth parts, right?
Okay.
So you've got like the little, what looks like their head, that's actually their mouth parts, right?
Right.
You have two flaps on the side that are called palps.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful illustration you have there. Full
Thanks.
Color.
Uh-huh.
Shiny.
Yeah.
So the palps, when a tick gets on you, right, and starts digging in, the palps move to the side.
Yeah, they're not part of the eating and digging in process.
Then you get the chelicerae.
Yes.
Which are two, I guess, kind of cutting, boring mouth parts. And not boring like,
no.
More like,
yeah, boring into your skin.
Right. And then you have the hypostome, right?
Yeah.
Which is this barbed needle-like protrusion that they just go vroom and start sucking blood.
Yeah.
But it's barbed and the hooks curve backward toward the tick, which makes it harder to pull out.
Yes, like a fish hook.
If you pull a tick out the wrong way, you just pull its body right off of its head. And its head stays in there. We'll get into how you can get rid of a tick appropriately.
Yeah.
Right?
Speedily. Safely.
Yes. With the whole thing intact. So you can do what I do and drop it into a glass of bleach and alcohol and just let it die.
Oh, I put mine in a Ziploc so I could take
suffocate
it. Well, no, just in case I needed to take it to the doctor if my thighs had a bullseye rash on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can take the glass to the doctor, but,
yeah,
know,
that's true.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
You just wanted to kill it in a cruel way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. I hate those things, man.
Well, who likes ticks?
So you'll notice then that you've got the barbed hypostome. You have the hooked legs, right?
Yeah.
Everything that has to do with ticks has to do with, like, hanging on, right? And digging in,
parasite,
and sucking, right?
Yeah.
As Tracy Wilson put it in this article, they are basically like a living blood pump.
Yeah.
The all they feed on is blood, right?
So gross.
And the entire point of their life is to eat so they can grow up and reproduce and die, like we said, right?
Yeah. And when they eat, Josh, their body, their idiosoma, if you want to get technical, it expands. A male tick has the scutum or scutum on the back. I'm not sure what it is.
I said scutum, but I couldn't tell which way.
Either way.
We're both too lazy to go on to Merriam-Webster.com, aren't we?
So what happens is the body of a hard tick, male hard tick, can't stretch that much to hold the blood. Soft ticks don't have the scutum, but they don't require a whole lot of blood to live and lay eggs.
Right.
The real nasty one of the bunch is the female hard tick.
That's the one that goes from the size of about a sesame seed to, you know, something like the size
like
of
an
your
orange.
Thumbnail. Right. Nice, Chuck.
Yeah, I saw one of my dog when I was a kid, and that has stuck with me, a big engorged tick that was, I mean, it was a big, looked like a big purple balloon.
Mm-hmm.
It was disgusting.
Their body is also very flat, so they can lay flat while they're feeding. This is especially important for a hard tick,
yeah,
because the hard ticks are born, they feed, mm-hmm, they reproduce, and they die, right?
Yeah.
So a hard tick actually, the hard tick female especially, will sit there and feed for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And that's really dangerous as far as survival goes, because you're just sitting there feeding, hoping no one notices.
Right. As you get larger.
And you get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then, mm-hmm, finally, if you make it until you're done with your blood meal,
yeah,
you can fall off and lay some eggs after mating.
As many as 18,000 eggs.
Yeah. Did you see that picture?
Yeah.
There's a picture in this article, which is pretty boss.
A lot of gross ones.
It looks like caviar coming out of the bottom of a tick.
You don't want to put that on the
like
soda cracker.
A tick just pooped out a bunch of caviar. That's what it looks like.
Can we talk about two amazing facts, Josh, about how the tick does its work when it rips into your skin and dives in?
I thought we got the amazing facts out of the way.
No. These two are pretty amazing to me.
Lay them on me, string bean.
Ticks do two things when they feed that blow me away. They excrete a cement-like substance into your body where they attach to make it harder for them to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And that dissolves when they're ready to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
Fact number one.
I know. They're like spitting up like that shot that tastes like cement in your mouth. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. It's awful. And number two is they have a substance to prevent your blood from clotting. So they can just continually drink, and it won't heal.
And that's all in their saliva.
And this happens from a tick's mouth. They have cement and blood thinners, basically, in their spit.
Chuck, let's talk about the tick life cycle. All right?
Clearly you weren't as blown away by that as me. No?
A tick is born from caviar, right? After the stork brings it to somebody's skin. Maybe a lizard skin.
After they quest and latch onto your jean pant.
Yes, right?
Your pant leg.
Yeah, your jean pant.
Your jean pant leg.
So you're born, you are a tick larva.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And at that point, you are about the size of a period. And I couldn't find the font size for this, but you're about the size of a period.
That's
at the end of a sentence.
12-point font.
Maybe. There's a big difference between 10 and 12 point. And
yeah,
I mean,
true.
What if it's like 144 point?
Yeah, but let's go with 12.
Okay.
That's standard.
All right. Thanks for that. You have six legs, remember?
Yeah, when you're born, you got six legs.
If you got good genes, you're going to have eight eventually. But first, you have to go find yourself a blood meal. And to do that, you have to crawl along the ground and maybe find a mouse with its tail hanging out.
Or a lizard.
Something with blood. And the closer to the ground, the better, because you can't really crawl that well yet.
Yeah, this is just before you can, if you want to grow up to be an adult tick, mm-hmm, if you don't get that first meal, you're done.
Yeah. It's like sea turtles.
Sure.
After you get that first meal, right, say you are a soft tick.
Okay.
You get that first meal, you're going to do it pretty quick, and then
you get off.
Right. You go back down to the ground. You drop off after you have your meal. You hang out. You're like, okay, I'm really, that mouse tail was packed with energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm growing. I'm literally getting too big for my shell.
Yeah.
I'm going to molt. And now all of a sudden, I have an extra pair of legs.
Look at that.
And you might call me a nymph.
That's exactly what you would be.
Right. And then you say, well, you know what? Being a tick nymph, now that I've molted and
I'm
a little bigger, it's kind of nice. I like this extra pair of legs, right?
Yeah, I'm faster.
Right. I'm hungry again, so I'm going to go get another blood meal.
So gross.
Okay?
Yeah.
So then you go, you get another blood meal, and then you drop off again.
Sure.
You stop hardening and clotting your host's blood from your, saliva.
Yeah.
You drop off. You go grow again. You molt. Now you're an adult. Now you're ready to reproduce. But first,
give you a little tick. Bar mitzvah, I guess.
Sure, or bat mitzvah.
Or bat mitzvah.
But first you need a blood meal. So you go get another blood meal.
Yeah.
Right? And it's about here that the life cycle of most ticks begins to end, right? Most ticks are three host ticks is what they're called.
Yeah, but, Tracy pointed something out I thought was interesting is that a tick that does not get their blood meal will die, but it could take like a year.
To starve to death.
To starve to death. So yeah. They might be just in nymph stage or adult stage or whatever, just pining away on that blade of grass, waving their little claw. No one ever walks by.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't reproduce. They can't lay eggs. They can't do the bump with their little female tick friends.
Right.
They can't do anything if they don't get their blood meal.
Yeah.
So they just die. It's like on the couch, basically.
Right. And so you would think, well, then ticks are just stupid for being questers. You know, it's such a willy-nilly way to go look for food. But as we said, ticks do have eyes, and they can differentiate shapes, that kind of thing. So they can technically hunt us as parasites, right? But not really.
Yeah, and they can see colors.
Yeah.
So Tracy said they use that to get in on a good blade of grass with mm-hmm. a high likelihood
right.
of some schmuck camper like me
yeah.
walking by.
They also can sense carbon dioxide that animals exhale.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool,
yeah.
actually.
Oh, yeah.
So let's say you are a tick that has, you're a female hard tick, and you're engorged. You've just mated. The male you mated with just went off and died right after mating.
Yeah, well, you both eat first.
Right. And then you come together and you're like, hey, I'm super full.
And then you mate. That's why I call them the Philistines. They're like, let's go eat and then have sex and then I'll die.
Yeah.
So you're the female.
Okay.
Where are you going? You said I'm the female.
Oh, and then after the guy goes off and dies,
yeah.
you're like, oh, I better go lay my eggs. And then bloop, there's all this caviar that comes out.
Right.
And now you're dead.
So,
and then the life cycle begins anew, right?
Generally. I don't think they always die, but generally the female dies after they lay eggs and the male dies after they do that thing.
Yes. Do the thing.
Do that thing.
They do. Yeah, so Chuck, that's the life cycle. I wish we had some sort of applause.
Right.
That was riveting.
It was.
If at any point, let's say, remember I said that most ticks are three host ticks?
Yeah.
If at any point one of those hosts, especially the first or second host, happens to be a diseased host, then ticks become their diseased vector. They're a diseased vector, right?
Yeah, but you can also, I don't even think you said, you can be a one-host tick. If you find a very gracious host,
mm-hmm.
you might stay there your whole life.
Right, if you are a hard tick.
Yeah, you can be a one or two host.
Right. But if you're a one host, like you said, you're born and then you go start feeding wherever you're born and
yeah.
you reproduce and die.
Yeah, you're like, this interior thigh is nice. I think I'll just stay here for my whole life.
Yeah. So, Chuck, if they do become a disease vector, and by the way, ticks are the number one disease vector in the animal world, and among humans, they're number two only to mosquitoes
yeah.
as bugs that spread disease.
Crazy.
Yeah. If you are a diseased tick, what are some of the things that you're going to spread?
Well, Josh, you can spread, I know everyone's heard of Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
Mm-hmm.
That is it started out obviously in the Rocky Mountains, but now it's kind of in many places in the U.S. because of animals that migrate and move around.
Right.
You can get, if you're in Australia, you can get Queensland's tick typhus or Finlander's island spotted fever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the big one is Lyme disease.
Yes, which Jordan has.
Yeah. he got the kind that goes away with some antibiotics. I think you can get it for life, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
I didn't do a whole lot of Lyme disease research, but I worked with a director one time that
did a short film on Lyme disease?
No. He had Lyme disease, I think, forever and needed to take like little afternoon naps because it would wear him out so
much. Or he was just a lazy liar.
Yeah.
So Lyme disease, the big giveaway for that one is a bullseye rash. It's an inflamed, raised area wherever the bite was.
Yeah.
That's the center. So it's real red and then kind of pale skin or regular skin color and then real red again.
Yeah, like a ring around it.
Right. Or a bullseye, right?
Exactly.
So if you have that, you are in big trouble. And Rocky Mountain spotted fever, I don't think Lyme disease is, but Rocky Mountain spotted fever is a rickettsial
yeah.
Illness. And I looked this up. So basically you have a fever, general mm-hmm. malaise, headaches.
Muscle cramps.
You're tired.
Yeah.
You're feeling lousy.
Yeah, you can actually die from Rocky Mountain spotted fever if you don't get anything
sure, yeah.
treated. If you're like out, you know, doing the Ted Kaczynski thing and you never get treated for anything, you could die.
That's the second time today you've mentioned Ted Kaczynski.
I know. He's really? Coming back.
Are you bringing
he's
him
not,
back?
He's not really coming back. Don't worry.
If you're bitten by a tick that, say, is spreading a protozoa or a bacteria that's going to give you some sort of infection, you are not necessarily going to get it immediately. Apparently, the rule of thumb is it takes about 4 hours for a tick to transmit a disease, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it does so in a number of ways. The first way is through its saliva, right?
Blech.
Another way is if you squeeze a tick, it can regurgitate blood back into your skin.
Oh, that's what I was doing. Blech.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And either one of those ways could spread the disease. Again, it takes about 4 hours. So a good way to combat ticks, if you're in a tick combat situation, is to look every couple hours. And you want to look around your scalp.
Sure.
You want to look in the folds, like your armpit.
Right.
Folds of your neck.
Behind the ears.
If you have like one of those hot dog packs, like for a neck, the back of your neck, you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Around your collar,
uh-huh.
The band of your whitey tighties, that kind of stuff.
Nether regions.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know. We don't need to get back to that story, but
no, we don't.
That is, those are dark, spooky, damp places, and ticks like to go there.
Right. So if you find a tick, there's a certain way that you want to get rid of it, right?
Only one way.
Pretty much.
All those wives' tales are no good.
Take it, Chuck.
Yeah, if you hear the, you know, put a nail polish on it, and it'll suffocate it, or put a hot match on it, and it'll release from you, all that stuff's going to make it do is bleh, bleh.
Yeah.
And it will vomit
blood.
Disease blood into your body. So none of those things are right. So what you want to do, Josh, you want to get some tweezers and you want to grasp the tick very firmly, right as close to where it attaches to your skin as possible. What you don't want to do is twist it or yank it out real fast. You want to pull firmly and really slow.
And straight up.
And straight back, or straight up from your body.
Straight up. And you want to pull it. Remember, a tick's body is flat.
Yeah.
So it can lay flat.
Uh-huh.
This is straight up if you were holding the tick up by its bottom and its head was going straight down. You want to pull straight up from where its head is burrowed into your skin.
Yeah, so if he's flat on your skin, you need to get up under him and pull him.
Right.
Like perpendicular and then out.
But you want those tweezers making contact with his mouth parts, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not his head or his body, because you're going to pull his body right off of his head.
Yeah, or you can squeeze the abdomen and that will make it go. Bleh,
right,
bleh.
Right.
So you don't want to squeeze the belly of the tick. Immediately afterward, you want to wash the area with soap and water.
Oh, you left out a step.
What's that?
You want to drop the tick into a glass of alcohol and bleach.
Yeah. But like I said, don't do any of those other stupid home remedies. There's really only one way to get the tick out. And you know, we mentioned the cement-like substance in the saliva.
Yeah.
It actually works better the longer it feeds.
Right.
So if the tick's been in there a little while, it's going to be harder to remove for that reason.
Yes.
Because the cement is you know, working.
Right, because you have the cement, you have the barbed hypostome, you mm-hmm. have the hooked legs. The thing doesn't want to let go until it's ready to. So you have to make it want to with your tweezers, right?
Yes.
So there are some ways to protect yourselves from ticks in the first place. Light colored clothing helps because ticks show up against them very easily. And if you see some ticks crawling on your light colored clothes, take some packing tape and make a ring around your four fingers, and then just psh, 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 like you're getting hair off of you.
Yeah, that's like the cheap lint roller.
Yes.
Poor man's lint roller.
Right.
Yes.
Or in this economy, just about everybody's lint roller, am I right? You want to wear long sleeves, and the rest of the sentence is the best visual that I got from this entire article.
You want to look like a dork, basically.
Wear long sleeves, comma, and tuck your pants into your socks or boots.
Yeah.
Can't you just see Tracy Wilson working out in the yard with, like, her pants tucked into her socks?
Yeah, with a hat.
Yeah. Wear a hat's number three.
You should wear a hat.
And wear gloves. And you can use insect repellent with DEET. And if you're interested in learning more about DEET, I wrote a pretty interesting article about DEET. Not long enough to do a podcast, but I would recommend reading it.
DEET's nasty, though.
Dude, check out my article.
Isn't it, like, really harmful?
Just read the article.
All right.
Just type in DEET in the handy search bar.
So that's, you know, obviously the gloves thing is if you're working in the yard, and that's where you're going to find a lot of ticks around wood piles and well, they say to keep your yard in shape because if you have, like, a well-kempt mowed lawn, you're not as likely to have ticks as if you got weeds and piles of garbage and
because remember,
wood.
An adult hard tick quests high up on unmowed, you know, grass or whatever. So you want to
just waved your little hand in
right,
there.
High like up.
You're
high
waiting
up
for.
So, yeah, keep your yard mowed. You're all set. And, Chuck, you know what you need to do?
Check my dogs.
You need to go around your yard with, like, a piece of white cloth.
Oh, yeah.
And just drag it. And if you see a bunch of ticks on it, you got an infestation. If not, you tell Jordan that he's a liar.
Right. Yeah, that's scary. I've had a flea infestation, and that was awful. When I was in L.A., dude, we were infested big time.
Yee.
And it was one of those deals where I couldn't find where they were coming from. So I went out in the backyard with bare feet one day and shorts on because I had a feeling they were coming from outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of walked around the yard really slowly looking down, and we had this shed in the back of our yard with about a 2-foot gap between the shed and the fence that no one ever goes, obviously. Went around there. As soon as I walked around the corner, I looked down, and I had about 200 fleas on my legs.
Oh, yeah.
And I freaked, obviously.
Yeah.
And then I destroyed them with chemicals and fire.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Fire just kind of puts the exclamation point on things, doesn't it?
I can't imagine a tick infestation, though. That's even worse.
Yeah. No, I can't either.
Than fleas.
But I don't think it looks like a flea infestation. I think if you have like 5 or 6 ticks on your white cloth, that's an infestation.
I couldn't tell. I thought it might be like hundreds of ticks on your
cloth. I think like if you're dragging your cloth through your yard,
right.
There shouldn't really be
that many ticks at all.
Yeah, like there should be a chance that there's no ticks. But if there's some, I know what you're talking about, the fleas, and it is disconcerting because I've looked at my leg and seen that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have very similar backgrounds. Are you aware of that?
What, trashy backyards and infestations?
Chuck.
Josh.
You and I are going to come up with a t-shirt design that says, I listened to the tick episode. And we have to figure out a way that people can prove that they listened to this entire episode.
Okay.
And if they did, we need to come up with a t-shirt because they deserve one for making it through this one with us.
Yeah, this was sort of scabies-esque in the itch count.
Scabies
and the
was
discomfort.
Way more interesting. I'm saying, like, they made it through it like they are hardcore devotees. You know what I mean?
Oh, I thought this was good.
Okay. If you want to learn more about ticks or get a visual of Tracy Wilson with her pants tucked into her socks, you just type ticks into the handy search bar at howstuffworks.com. And now it's time for a new segment, an occasional segment. Don't freak out. It's not like listener mail's going anywhere. We'll still do Facebook stuff, but every once in a while we have to say thank you. So this is what we call
administrative details.
So yes, Chuck, this is a new segment, right? Every once in a while we get stuff mailed to us, all sorts of awesome stuff, and it just piles up. I should say the thank yous pile up. And we just need to knock them out every once in a while.
Yeah, I would
because
have called
we are
this,
very grateful for everything, right?
Yeah, I would have called this fan appreciation or fan thank you, not administrative detail, but tomato,
well,
tomato.
You weren't raised in a Skinner box, were you?
Okay, Josh, we'll split these up here. We've had a lot of
Wait,
people.
Wait, what are we doing? We're doing the thank yous, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've had a lot of people send us things over the past, what is this, past 6 months or so.
You want to start with stuff?
Yeah, stuff.
Yes. Because, like ticks, administrative detail thank yous can be divided into two groups.
Right. And even stuff can be divided into books. We got a lot of books.
We did. From the authors themselves, right? Including our buddy Ian Spector.
Yes, Ian.
Who created the Chuck Norris fact generator, right? And he just came out with his new book, Chuck Norris Cannot Be Stopped. And he sent us copies of that.
He's milking it.
I was disheartened that he sent it to the tech stuff guys, too. I tried to talk him out of it. He's like, no, I'm too nice. I told him I would.
We also got How to Speak Pirate, A Treasure Chest of Seafaring Slang by Geordie Telfer.
Mm-hmm.
We got one called Revolutions for Fun and Profit by Ryan Chituck.
I have not read that one yet, but I'm very much looking forward to that.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm also looking forward to Molecular Gastronomy, a book by Hervé Tess. And Hervé Tess did not give us this book, but Liz from littlebitofsweets.com did. Remember?
Yeah, LIDDABIT sweets.com. If you have two brain cells that you can muster up, go there and order her any of the candy bars, but order the peanut butter and jelly candy bar and thank me later.
Oh, I didn't have that one.
Oh, dude, it was so good.
I had the king. It was peanut butter and banana.
Oh, I had one. I had that one too.
What?
And a s'more one.
What?
You had several candy bars, didn't you?
I had two. I didn't have several.
She also makes this beer and nut caramel that's really good. And
I didn't get any of that either.
What did you got the popcorn, right?
Yeah, I did. The popcorn was awesome. It had bacon fat in it, and you could tell.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
I mean, it's seriously like handmade in New York City with like really nice ingredients. So if you see like $6 for a candy bar, just shut up and get it. Trust me.
Yeah.
It's the best candy bar you'll ever have in your life.
Yeah. So thanks, Liz, for all that stuff. Keep it coming. We also got A Catcher's Companion, The Hidden World of Holden Caulfield by Sean McDaniel.
Yeah.
And I've just kind of browsed it. I haven't given it a sit-down read yet. But Sean put together basically like an annotated Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing stuff.
Absolutely.
And I don't know, I'm pretty sure you could probably find most of these on Amazon.
I don't know. Some
it's
of them.
The search.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Some of them might be self-published, but I think people should support self-published books too.
Oh, agreed.
And there was one more book. We mentioned it briefly once, but we didn't mention the whole thing. The Zombie Combat Manual.
Woo!
A Guide to Fighting the Living Dead by Roger Ma.
Yeah.
And it is really, really awesome.
And here's one you don't know about, Chuck. I want to say thank you to Stephanie, who I went to high school with and was in children's theater with. We used to carpool there together.
Sweet.
Way back in the day.
Yeah.
She and her fiancé, Steve, listen.
Uh-huh.
Steve turned her on to us. He heard us mention Sprayberry, and he was like, wait a minute, didn't you go to Sprayberry? And made her listen. She's like, no way.
So, wow.
Yeah. She, fortunately for us, we got more than just a high. Steve makes hot sauces, and he sent a bottle of Big Smoke, and I'll give you half of it eventually.
So you can like use half of it for 6 months
right.
And then give you
I'll
the
be
rest.
Like, here, I'm done with this. Yes, yeah, so thank you to Stephanie and Steve for that. And hey, Stephanie, hope it's going well.
Well, that's nice. Let's look at you on your birthday being kind.
I know. It feels dirty.
So those are the books and candy bars and things. We got a bunch of CDs from a band in New Jersey called The Wag, and we want to thank them.
Yes.
Our best bud in the world, Martin Van Nostrand, he's always sending us
tons
stuff,
of stuff.
Like bacon-based things.
Wesley Willis CD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All sorts of CDs. The Woodhouse Gang.
Yeah. Woodbox Gang.
Woodbox Gang.
Yes.
What did I say, Woodhouse?
Yes.
Anyway, Van Nostrand, you sick puppy. We love you.
Now it's time for postcards, eh?
Yeah, we got a bunch of postcards.
We got one from Vanessa in Japan. Todd from the Anne Frank House. Sorry about your umbrella there, Todd. And there's a small group of conspirators found deep within the bowels of the Brigham Young University Library.
Really?
Thank you for listening.
Interesting. I don't even know what that is. Janelle in Traverse City, Minnesota?
Michigan.
Traverse. We want to say check out shuttercal.com.
Yes.
Rocky and his girlfriend from Hawaii via Hearst Castle.
Yes.
Kate and Stuart, who we met at the Bell House in Brooklyn when we were there, they independently wrote letters to us on the same day.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
But Kate's was way better.
Why is that?
Because Stuart, like, spent his whole letter taking us to task over the traffic podcast.
Really?
Yeah. And Kate's was all like, I'm so glad we got a chance to meet you. You guys are awesome. And Stuart's like, hey, I hope you guys are doing well. It was nice to meet you. And here's everything that was wrong with the traffic podcast. So Kate's letter definitely won.
Oh, and the fellows from New Belgium Brewery sent us some delicious fat tire ale.
Yes.
In the mail.
So thank you to everybody who's ever sent us anything. If we forgot you, we apologize. You can shoot us an email, actually, and be like, you fat jerks.
Or just send us what you sent us before again.
Right. Refresh our memories,
right?
As a
reminder.
If you want to send us something, you can get our mailing address by sending us an email. We don't expect anything, so if you just want to say hi, that is awesome in and of itself. You can correspond with us at stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, everybody. Are you thirsty? Well, sip on pure, refreshing Richard's rainwater. Yes, it's really rain. Caught clean before it hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater or the long-lasting and cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. Sip the sky. The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.